Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. I am Uncle Chaps. I'm going to be joined soon by my lovely co-host Kate and Captain Cons. We also have Radio Bren here as well. And today we are going to have four rounds in the magazine. Round number one, moving to a new duty station in the military can be a logistical nightmare. And that's especially true for three military families who had a trailer of all their belongings stolen on Christmas Day. ZBT listeners also shared some of their best and worst PCS tales, and we're going to share with those with you in just a few moments. Round number two, military homecomings are always a sight to behold, and an airman who just returned home to his girlfriend and her badass A-10 fighter jet jean jacket can attest to that. Round number three, overweight, unfit or shy? The British military, the British Army.
Military.
Military. Man, I was so proud of myself.
Jet jean jacket, perfect.
Oh, I was so proud. I blew my load on the military jean jacket tongue twister that we had, and now I fucked that up. Anyways, round number three, overweight, unfit, or shy? The British Army doesn't give a shit. They are introducing a new platoon just for those midfits, and I can't wait to tell you about it.
Well, I'm dreading that round. Mean.
It's not okay to be fat.
Mm. Oh my God.
Cons. That's too far. Round number four. Sure, we messed up a short, wacky story about missing rifles stateside, but you can count on us for the most accurate information on the latest with Iraq and Iran. We've got some updates and some breakdowns for you, and all that is going to be brought to you by our good friends at Roman, who are a little bit specialists in breaking somebody down shotgun style and give them a little bolt bore check for a long period of time. If you want to have sex for a long time, all you have to do is take out these clinically proven swipes. Swipe them on your big fat what, Bren?
My dick.
Whoa!
Your dick. They're effective to eat and easy to use, in fact, acting, but they don't require a prescription. Roman can ship swipes to you in a discreet and unmarked package, and all you have to do is go to GetRoman.com/zero, and you're going to get your first month of swipes for just $5. When you choose the monthly plan, if you use the link GetRoman.com/zero.
Chaps, you went all the way to Japan, and I know, Cons, for a while, you like had a house in Texas and all that stuff. Do you have any good having to move all your shit stories?
I was really fortunate. I never had a problem. Yeah. Not once.
It was
so
simple.
I was very lucky, yeah.
How about you, Jeff?
Oh, I was a big-time fraud guy whenever I was in. So
I was going to mention one thing. So I did a PCS from Fort Sill down to Fort Hood, Texas, and anyone who knows the area knows that's somewhat of a short drive. Mm-hmm. So I did all my big stuff. The movers came and took care of that. But then I also did part of the move in my own car, because you can get paid for doing the move by yourself.
Right.
And something that people would do often, I never did this. They would take 45-pound plates from the gym and put those in their car to make their car heavier, as if they were carrying more stuff, so you get more money.
Right. The heavier, because you can either choose, you did a mix of both, but you can either choose to have movers move for you, or you can do it yourself, and they'll pay you to do it yourself.
Right.
They give you a certain amount of days to do it, so a certain amount of, like, overnights at hotels, like, money, stipend for that, and the heavier your car is. So I heard stories of people putting sandbags in their car, the weights, all that shit. So, Chaps.
One of the guys from the British Army platoon that we're going to talk about later can hop
yeah, yeah, back. Okay. Hop in.
My favorite PCS story when I was moving from Virginia here, I knew exactly where I was going to go. I was taking over the rent of another guy that I was in Iraq with. He was moving duty stations from here to another spot, and I was coming in. He had just bought a house like a year and a half ago, and he was telling me about it. I was like, well, dude, and so I don't have to look for a place. I've seen your house online. I'll rent it. If I could just go at your mortgage, you don't gain money, but you don't lose money, and I'll take good care of your house. He was like, done. So I had my place all set up before I even got from Virginia, sight unseen. drove down here, and whenever you get to your duty station, they have, during PCS moves, the budget of where you can stay is larger. Mm-hmm. Normally, like, the government rate's like $120 in San Antonio, but during move rate, it goes all the way up to $280 a night is what you can spend. So we came in here. I've told the story before where I had my buddy Chris Diaz, who was killed in Afghanistan. He met me in my driveway with a bunch of Marines. They all unloaded all of my shit into my house in like 15 minutes. My wife and I took the U-Haul and we turned it in. And then we went to this place called the Marriott here in San Antonio that has like a lazy river, a TPC golf course. And we had just, it was the first weekend that we were together, like as husband and wife in our new house. And we got to stay at an awesome place. And I was like, man, and it's all because the Lackland Inn, the military base on Lackland, was all closed up. Like,
yeah.
So there was no room in the inn, just like on Christmas Eve. And so we didn't have to stay at the shitty Gateway Inn on Lackland Air Force Base. We got to go stay at a badass hotel.
There you go.
It was awesome. Because at the time, I was just an E5. I had never stayed in a that was the nicest hotel I had ever stayed in.
Oh, yeah.
By far. Sure. My wife was the same way. So when we stepped in, we're like, damn, we are fucking L-I-V-I-N.
You're balling. Yeah. You're living it up. Well, most.
I was just going to say one last thing. It should be mentioned. The movers typically who come are so freaking efficient and fast. I remember I had an entire house. It felt like they did it in 30 minutes. They packed my
entire
house.
And they'll pack your fucking trash.
Yeah.
They'll pack your trash.
If it's there, yeah. They pack it.
I've heard stories of people who are like, yeah, I left my car keys on the kitchen table. And next thing you know, they're gone. And I'm like, oh my God, the movers just wrapped them up in the bubble mm-hmm. wrap too and threw them in a box. And people had one guy I served with said he had dog food still in the dog bowl when he unpacked it. They just packed that shit right up with all mm-hmm. that stuff. So the movers come through like wildfire pace. But moving in the military is something that if you are in the military or you're a military brat, it's every few years you got to do it. Mm-hmm. So most people tend to not really move much in their whole lifetime. If you're in the military,
which might be the most wasteful thing that the military does.
Oh, yeah.
It really might be.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason to do that. Like
right.
If you're like Lance Corporal Kate, you're going to go be Lance Corporal Kate at a different place and they're going to spend $15,000 to move you whenever you could just be Corporal Kate on Pendleton 2. This idea that we have to move troops around every 3 years. Is insane. Like, it's just so stupid.
Well,
I never gave thought to that, but you're absolutely right. What is the benefit? Unless you're going to a significantly different type of unit or you're changing branches or something and there's nothing available for you to move up at your current duty station, there's no reason to leave.
It's a wacky thing. Yeah. Who knows? But
I think captain above, like if you're moving up to like a command level, like XO position or higher, like if you need to have that spot and that expertise, or first sergeant and above. But underneath that, just get stationed somewhere, and if you want to, stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's plenty of people that want to stay.
Unfortunately for three families in California, regardless, things are as they are, and they all had to do a PCS move. So get into this story then. A California man has been arrested for allegedly stealing a big rig with a 53-foot trailer containing the belongings of military families, the California Highway Patrol reported this past Friday. Michael Travis Forward was arrested after the stolen rig was found in the Central Valley city of Manteca, California, and about 90% of the stolen cargo was found in his home nearby.
Can I just say one thing?
Can I do a military joke real quick?
Sure.
You go and then I'll go. Go ahead.
Okay, Michael Travis Forward, more like Michael Travis in the rear with all the gear.
Whoa! All right, I like that.
And I was going to say, anyone who goes by three full names is either a criminal or an assassin.
Michael Travis Forward. Well, thankfully, they found all of his stuff, but 14 of stolen guns. He stole 14 guns from that cargo of the three different families. They are all still missing. I'm guessing if you search at some local pawn shops, you'll find exactly where those went. But making Mr. Forward even more backwards, he stole the tractor trailer containing these troops' goods on Christmas Day of all days. What
terrible.
A Grinch. The trailer contained all of the belongings and property of three active duty military families who were in the process of active duty relocations. The property had a total value of over $100,000. The truck was found 3 days later, and authorities searched Forward's home and found most of the gear, as we said. They also found a stolen Harley.
Wow.
Just randomly on the side. And if you look at the photos of what was in the truck before the move, you see like a John Deere tractor, little kids' bicycles with the streamers on them, like all sorts of stuff. This guy, and what is this creepy loner man? Like, he has three families worth of shit in his, I'm just
But
picturing.
Imagine how fun that would be.
To go through
like, ooh,
all
what
that
I get?
Stuff to
what
see what
get?
You get.
Yeah.
This is true. It's what was that show everybody was obsessed with where they open the storage facilities and then they get to stay?
Storage Wars.
This guy basically did a little Storage Wars goofing on these families. But I mean, on Christmas
like
Day
if you're alone and you already in the criminal life and you can get one of those things, because you never know what you're going to stumble into when you got three families worth of shit. Yeah, you're going to get your bike here and there, but what if you get like something really cool and you never know? 14 guns, that's burying the lead too. Like that's a lot of guns
that are missing still. But
such a crapshoot though, because he could have gotten three families worth of just absolute crap.
But it looks like he got some good stuff, according to the photos that I was looking
at.
The
John Deere looks brand new.
It looks beautiful. Oh, you could really crisp a lawn with that thing. But the thing that sucks, these three families are moving. The tractor trailer, I guess it was parked in a lot on Christmas Day because it was Christmas Day, I guess. So the move was put on hold for these three. So the tractor, and the guy just steals it. Can you imagine finding out over the Christmas holiday that like all your possessions are gone?
Yeah.
And you have children and you have families and you have, and all your shit is just gone.
It's just really sad.
Ugh.
Well, that's a big thing that people get stolen is like the back of an 18-wheeler. Like it happens all the time. Like whenever, I mean,
Fast and the Furious
essentially made a movie about it. And my dad was a truck driver. My biological dad was a truck driver. And one time he was hauling Jimmy Dean sausage, an entire 18-wheeler full of Jimmy Dean sausage. And he called me up and he was like, "Hey, you're not going to believe this. Stole a bunch of the sausage. They got sausage all over the place. 18-wheeler full of sausage? I mean, because it's probably like it's sight unseen stealing. So then you go to the back and you're like, what am I going to get? You're hoping if it's a cooler truck, maybe beer or something like that that you could sell. But you're going to fucking sausage? I can't imagine there's much of a black market for sausage.
You never
well,
know. You
so
never
those
know.
Big companies that have haul stuff at that amount, they account for a certain level of loss. I remember friends of mine, close friends from high school, their family was in the shipping and warehousing business, and they had a big deal with MillerCoors. So anytime I was having a party, I'd go over to their warehouse, and it's like, oh, bumped into that pallet of beer. You can't once one package of beer is damaged, you cannot sell the entire pallet. So we would have an entire pallet full of beer. So your dad took that sausage, and it was none the wiser for Jim Dean.
Welcome to Barstool's fraud, moving fraud podcast. If you are PCSing or with like free beer or sausage. But basically, this is a kind of common, you know, getting stolen, like that's not common. But people having difficulties with their PCS moves is common. So we asked the ZBT followers what some of their craziest PCS and moving moments were. And the answers did not disappoint. I'm going to read a couple of the best ones. At the Ferbs said, a friend of mine was PCSing from Hawaii to CONUS, which CONUS is?
Continental United States.
Yes, they're moving back to the States, so her goods were transferred via Connex box on a ship. The ship hit some rough weather and lost several boxes over the side due to high waves, including hers. The Navy basically told her to find as many receipts as she could and file her claim. So all her shit fell
off a story, though.
But in the similar vein, at Scott's Jacket said, I was stationed in Gitmo in 2013, and the barge bringing our PCS items sank. They lost everything. Holy fuck. Man. This guy said, this is a tough one, too. At Bryce Johnson said, I just completed my final, his very last PCS, and they lost the parts box. So you know when you're moving and you put all the nuts and bolts and screws and this and that and those little Ziploc baggies and you tape them to stuff so you don't lose them? I guess they had a box where all that stuff went for everything in the entire house that needed to be assembled. Right now, most of my furniture is in pieces scattered around my house. They lost that box, the only box they lost.
Dude.
And they knew the box was gone Friday, but they didn't tell us until they delivered the following Tuesday. At Two Rains said, my stuff was sent from Colorado to Honduras instead of Virginia. Does that count?
Classic mix-up.
Yes,
classic.
Yes, it does.
That definitely counts.
I'm going to read all these because I thought they were so good. At Gears Up Flaps Up, Katie Higgins Cook said, I was driving.
Who? Katie Higgins. She has an awesome story. Katie Higgins Cook. She used to be the pilot for the big C-130 that the Blue Angels fly, Fat Albert. She was the pilot for Fat Albert.
All right. Well, she has a great story. She was driving. She says, I was driving my rental on the island in Corpus Christi to base to check in for flight school, and I saw a moving truck on fire in the middle of the bridge. All my stuff was on that truck. Holy shit. and sustained damage. Luckily, I was poor and it was all IKEA and they reimbursed me. But to imagine me moving and like be like, oh, that sucks. And then be like, wait a minute, that's my stuff. Oh my God. At CM Barrett.
But there is like what she said there is kind of true, because if you're like a lower level enlisted or you're like a lower officer, a lot of the furniture that you have is most likely not going to be expensive. You're going to have a bunch of hand-me-down shit from other people that were moving. So if you're like, oh, now I get to get a brand new bed, that feels like a stunt, man.
Oh, like a
brand new couch. A lot of people in this position, you watch your shit burn. That's probably the first time you've had a new couch in your life.
There was one on the opposite end. I didn't include it in here, but one guy was like, our family's like heirloom, like big, beautiful oak table. The movers put a chiminea on top of it.
Oh,
no. And it just scratched it to fuck. CM Barrett 76 said, PCS related, we had to move 3 times in 3 years because the owners of the houses we were renting from chose to keep our rent money rather than pay the mortgage.
Jesus.
So 3 times in a row, all at the same post, he said.
I don't know what you get out of that, ruining your credit like that.
I know.
That's pretty silly, but
go ahead. At TPMIII, Pat the Third, all right, my driver quit halfway through a cross-country move. He just got halfway and said, you know what, I think I'll go home. I think I'm done. They had to load.
Excellent, Forrest Gump.
I know. Thank you. They had to load everything from his truck to a new truck. They didn't tell me until delivery day. I'm still finding things missing. Oh, and they bought someone else's antique organ, thinking it was mine. So like, hey, have your shit's gone. Here's this antique organ. What? And then finally, at Lowbree 17, aka O'Breezy, said my stuff was delayed 2 weeks. When it got here, the mover started breaking down to me about his dead fiance and how he had to spend his own money to get my stuff here. Oh, and he lost my bed and broke my 65-inch TV. Yeah, to have your PCS mover having a full mental breakdown on the way, not great.
I'd probably just say it'd be a little heartless, but I'd say I'm really sorry, but you broke my stuff.
Another one I didn't include was this guy said he had some very fancy, expensive liquor his friends got him because he was PCSing, he was leaving. So he had it out because he was going to put it in his own, like certain things you transport in your own car that are fancy or whatever. And the movers, he looks, it's gone. The movers are like, oh, we thought you left that out for us. They drank it.
That's a good tip, by the way.
They packed the fucking dog food, but not the liquor.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a great tip. If you are moving on PCS move and you have stuff that is very valuable or cannot be replaced, move that yourself. Do not trust the movers because God forbid
I did, Cons. Whenever I moved down here, I had my car on the back of the U-Haul whenever I was driving down. And somehow there's a leak that got into my trunk. So my hard drive with all my pictures on it from like deployments and shit like that was in there. All my original documentation from like awards and shit like that. My original Purple Heart, my original like all the other stuff, all destroyed. I don't have any of the originals.
Dude.
Yeah.
That sucks. But at least you know you're not alone. Misery loves company when it comes to PCSing.
Seriously.
It seems like so many people had these horrible stories, dude.
I will say though, when you think about moving, it's probably one of the worst things to have to do, especially if you have a lot of stuff. But the fact that you can move for free in the military, that's pretty good.
At a cost. I mean, it's for free.
That's it. Nobody enjoys that shit.
Anyways.
All right, let's move on to round two.
All right, round number two, because I'm a sucker for romance and I can't help it. I saw this photo. And it kind of like took me back to the zone. Homecomings. I mean, how good of a feeling is it?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty fucking great. And I know you have both had them too. Did you have people waiting for you when you got home?
Nope.
Okay.
No.
So my parents, they came that day, but it was really tough to know exactly the time. So their flight didn't get in.
Yeah.
So we're getting to the parade field and my one buddy goes, you can hug my parents. So I hugged my buddy's parents and then my parents met me at my house. I got a ride home and they met me at my house. So that was a little bit delayed, but I didn't have anyone right there at the time.
And not everybody
does. That was the biggest bullshit the way that K-9 used to do deployments because we didn't deploy as like a big unit because there's only so many. So you would grab some from Cherry Point, some from Pendleton, some from Yuma, some from Okinawa, and then we would meet in a central location and then fly out. Well, whenever we came back in, all the guys that were stationed, guys and ladies that were stationed on Lejeune or Cherry Point, whenever we landed in Cherry Point, North Carolina, all of their families were there. And so, like, everybody else's didn't have theirs. So you had essentially half the unit was having all these homecomings, and the rest of us were just, like, fumbling our dicks, like, just trying to get all the dogs in order.
Yeah. It's different for everybody. And, like, not everybody has people waiting or has whatever. But I got lucky for mine. The first time I came home, my parents were there, and then my Aunt Party Peg, who makes the chicken parm.
Did she have some chicken parm for you?
Came all the way out to California. My Aunt Helen came out from Jersey, and my brother was there. So it was nice to have my fiance at the time was still deployed. But when he came home that time, he came home a few months later. We were deployed at the same time, but he was in a separate area from me. But it was one of those, we were young and stupid, and we wrote each other letters every single day. I have, like, hundreds of them. And, like, we were so in love, handwritten.
Wow.
And then we would have to wait months at a time because we were both in the boonies, and then, like, a convoy would come through, and you get to sit there and rip open, like 30-something letters from that month and see what they were up to and blah, blah, blah. It was so romantic and so intense because we were young and stupid, whatever. And so when he finally came home that day, us ladies – I don't know what you guys do, but I went and got my hair done that morning. I got my nails done. I picked out my outfit a week in advance. I wanted him to get off that bus and see, like, the most beautiful version of me humanly possible. And it was, like, the best fucking thing to, like, they get off, they line them up, and they release them. And then you finally get to hold them, and it's like, internally, you're like those dog videos of the homecoming. Right. You're like, you're here, you're here. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And you just want to just... You just want to be all over them. You just want to, I can't believe
you don't even know how to express yourself.
You're safe. I love you. You're safe. I love you. You're just like going crazy. And it's this intense, amazing feeling. So I saw this picture that was making the rounds on social media. And for the record, now divorced. It didn't work out, by the way.
Oh, really? Yeah. I thought this was recent.
No, it's not recent. It didn't work out for us. But still, the memory is still, like, really great. It's still, like, a great thing, you know? It doesn't negate the
memory.
What
a great picture. But that's kind of
one,
a shame.
Oh, these two are not divorced. No. I'm talking about myself here. But,
yeah.
But anyway.
We already knew that.
These two are going to make it, I can tell.
Yes.
Because here we have, let's see, Casey Borden. And she rocked an outfit that is making waves online at the homecoming of her significant other when her man, Air Force Captain Daniel Lago Marcino, a Thunderbolt pilot out of Moody Air Force Base in Georgia, returned home. Borden was wearing a jean jacket with brrrr. You do the sound better than me, chaps.
Brrrr.
Down the sleeves. That's the infamous sound of the Thunderbolt's 30-mic rotary cannon, which is able to spit 3,900 rounds per minute. And that jet that he pilots, that plane, when it comes down a couple times on our first deployment, that thing went by everybody. I got a boner. You cannot help it. You're like, oh fuck, that's awesome. So that burt sound, that like brrr, it's kind of like a pop culture thing within the military. Everybody knows it. So she's wearing this jean jacket with that down the sleeves. He's in his A-10 pilot, costume. He's in his little A-10 pilot costume. He's in his fucking uniform that looks badass. He's got the sunglasses on. She's wearing aviators, the A-10 Burt jean jacket. He's got flowers in his hand, and he's got his arm around her. She's got her hand around his neck. They're making out right in front of this airplane. I saw it, and I thought, my goodness.
I mean, what a good-looking couple. This guy's handsome. He's got the pilot haircut going well. Obviously, the jean jacket is flames. My only critique would be better if he had aviators on himself instead of the Oakley iPro glasses. Other than that, this picture is flawless. He's holding the flowers she brought him. Lips are locked. My goodness.
I know.
Imagine the carnal relations that evening. Didn't even get to that evening. Probably just happened in the car.
You know, the only thing I would have done differently if I was the fella, I'd have had my hand draped around her little bottom.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
grab. When you're wearing a flight shirt, you gotta grip the cheek. You gotta get a whole grip on the cheek.
Well, maybe it was her dad taking this picture. You know, you want to be respectful.
I mean, I don't think he would care. You got to understand where he's coming from.
Anyway, yeah. I just love that.
Her dad's probably like, grab it, dude. Grab it up.
I just love, I think so many people, we don't talk about the homecoming style. So many women, if you're at a military homecoming, it's almost like when you're watching people go to prom, the outfits are to the nines.
Yes.
Super fancy.
Yeah, well. But we also got to say, because this is, we're romanticizing it because there's still that Lance Corporal with the spouse that looks like absolute dog shit standing there too. We can't act like it's all GQ models. There's some busted ass ladies that are there as well. Dudes. Like when the ladies come back, there's some busted dudes that are there too.
Oh,
looking
for
like
sure.
That guy from the Pepsi commercial.
Absolutely. I mean, that's true. I was probably one of them when my ex came home and I was like, look at me.
The thing is, as long as you think you look good, and after that period of time on deployment, anything looks good. You could be wearing some Victoria's Secret love spell and you're like, oh, damn, here we go.
I would go so far as to say if he had the aviators on, this picture would be on par with the picture from World War II with the sailor and the nurse, or the sailor and the woman in Times Square. That's how good this picture is.
It's just a good picture. And I don't know. There's something about it. I love that she got the custom jean jacket. Mm-hmm. If you two were waiting for your significant others to come from a homecoming and you could customize anything down the sleeve, what would it be?
Oh, as an artilleryman, it would have to be boom, boom.
Oh, okay. A boom, boom jean jacket on cons.
That's
okay.
The sound of the artillery.
All right. I like it.
My husband might be canine, but I do it doggy style.
Oh!
That's a lot of words for a sleeve, but I think you could get it on there. I like it. Bren?
Nah, I can't think of one.
Horned up for homecoming. That would be yours. I would just have a yut down the sleeves. A
yut?
A yut.
Oh, Katie Motivator.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to round number three. Round number three comes to us from The Guardian, and it's about our friends from across the pond. They say, overweight, unfit, and shy recruits are being given a second chance to join the British Army via a four-week boot camp as the military seeks new ways to increase troop numbers and its understrength armed forces. The Soldier Development Course is what it's being called, and it first ran in September, and it is designed to help borderline recruits make the grade and is one of the range of measures aimed at stemming a 10% shortfall in a fully trained personnel. So basically, they're having trouble with people joining the British Armed Forces. And I read a tweet about this. It was underneath the article. And they were saying, well, yeah, because most of our university is free. Our healthcare is free. So a lot of the recruiting tools that other nations use, they don't have to worry about it here. So why would you join? I mean, when you're thinking about what a recruiter, whenever they stick out those little tabs that what are you going to join for? Travel, pay, college, and all those things. England kind of has that figured out, like, on a national level. So it is difficult to recruit somebody unless they are doing it just for, like, national interest for the most part. Well, all these people that are trying to join, there was some people that wanted to join, but some were overweight and some were unfit and some were slower and things like that. I don't have a problem with doing a boot camp for those that need to, like, lose some weight or something like that. Like, you can have remedial fitness, and if you want to get in shape and you want to go to boot camp and they help you get your diet right, they help you exercise and get you into shape, and then you monitor along the way, I think that's a great thing. And in fact, I think that America should do that.
I agree.
If you have some, because we have, Kate and I have interviewed somebody for Rough and Rowdy he was well over the standard, and he would have to drop 20, 30 pounds on his own to get in. I don't think that we should do that way. If you want to go in and be like, okay, you can come to us at boot camp, we'll train you, you'll go on our diet regimen, and once you actually meet the standard, you can begin recruit training. I think that would be fantastic.
It's kind of like a much more structured pulley program. It's like if for the pulley program, you also had to get shipped off somewhere to do whatever. And they're saying another part of it is that we're just not as healthy as we used to be. So
the issues with the overweight, I have zero problem with. And there's another one. They said that if you're shy, like some people are shy and they will have trouble joining the military, go in there, get that confidence up and go back to a regular basic platoon. I think that's good. They're starting to have some waivers that might be troublesome, though. Like, I don't know if you can go and have people that have, like, chronic asthma and be like, we're going to try to work around this and get you in the military.
We're going
to
get that. But looking at this thing.
Asthma?
They could fix it a couple weeks
ago. I mean, I have asthma. Like, I have asthma now.
Did you have asthma in the Marines?
No.
Okay.
Yes, I did, but I was in such good shape that it kind of, I had sports-induced asthma.
Okay.
But it went away because I was in good shape. Like, it was
it
under control.
It. Got it.
And when I get fat like I am now or out of shape like I am now, like, it is a struggle still for me.
Hmm.
But if you can get that under control, fine. But I think that this, I you know what, Kate? I was originally going to shit on this topic as a whole. But just reading it, I think it's a good idea.
Well, I think it's a good idea, too, mostly because there's so many people out there that don't know how to diet properly and don't know how to exercise properly. So if they had that supervision, they probably, and especially if they're young enough, when you're young and you have a more or less healthy body, you can bounce back very quickly. You can get in shape very quickly as opposed to somebody who's 30 or older. So I think it's a good idea to have this program in place.
I also like that they said the Army recruiters there did research that shows that 54% of 18 to 24-year-olds believe a lack of self-confidence holds them back. And this course, whatever it is, it addresses that psychological issue and helps them develop and be more confident. I know one of the reasons, like, I had thought about joining the military, like, before college, because I wasn't sure I wanted to do college, but I was like, well, I can't do that. Like, I had already convinced myself. Yeah, I didn't think I could do it until, like, the power of shame propelled me to do it later in life. But, like, you know, it's one of those things that I think that could be a really positive thing. So, I don't know. Interested to see how that works out. And if the U.S. And
they are right about the confidence, because there's one line in their recruiting pitch where they talk about there's a woman who's dressed up in makeup and she looks beautiful. And then there's a pint of beer on the bar. And they talk about you could be confident for a season or you could be confident for the rest of your life if you join the military and learn like our leadership skills. And I think that there's elements of truth to that, like where you have this inherent confidence about you because you've been through some really tough stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, this it's a byproduct of anytime you endure something that's difficult and you are able to get through that, whether it's, you know, on your own or with the help of others surrounding you, lifting you up, that's definitely going to give you the confidence that won't go away ever because you're never going to forget those memories.
One final I was going to say
the few, the proud, the super fat.
I was going to say I'm sure, though, because this is a group that's, like, not quite boot camp ready.
Sure.
A little bit goofy. I'm picturing maybe the kid from Little Giants who gets the snot bubble, who's, like, intimidation, yeah. You know? I bet you being an instructor at this school is a goddamn delight. I bet
I bet it's a challenge. I bet it's a challenge.
That would have to be the most difficult screening for like a job placement that you have. Because if you like say, for instance, I've told stories about what I was like whenever I was like the company gunny. You place me in that position, I would fail. You would need somebody like Corporal Kate, who's nice in there, yeah. And like leading them along the way and having a softer touch. And then whenever they get to like the normal recruit training, then you ramp it up a notch. But that would be tough because you would have – imagine what the normal instructors are saying whenever the island of misfit toys is walking by, mm-hmm. going to chow. Like, oh, look
I love
at these
it.
But I would also take that as a source of pride if you took these misfits and turned them into good soldiers. Like, I've mentioned this guy before, government name. He was Specialist Becerra and really wanted to become an NCO, and he had everything working for him. It was just he was overweight. So I personally took it under my wing and said, we're going to get your weight in order. We're going to get you fit. And then eventually he did, and he rose the ranks to NCO. I wouldn't be surprised if he's an E7 by now.
Hey, guess who led Santa Slay? Rudolph. He was a misfit.
There you go.
It worked out pretty goddamn well for him. So
hard to argue with that. Let's Great move point. On to round four.
Long time Stooley Rudolph.
Oh, brick by brick Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer.
He was a newspaper guy.
Yeah, he really pissed off Drill Instructor Sergeant Blitzen.
He did.
That would be a great name, though. Sergeant Blitzen?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Forget it.
Oh, sir, I was trying to lead the sleigh, and Staff Sergeant Blitzen came, and he said that I couldn't play any of the reindeer games.
Hey there, Rudolph.
What is wrong with your nose?
Okay, Rudolph, we'll play those fucking reindeer games.
Okay.
Hey, First Sergeant Lugo, why don't you square Rudolph away?
Hey there, Rudolph. Come here, you. Over there fucking playing all those goddamn reindeer games. Like nobody sees you standing over there with that red damn nose out of rags. Okay, you. Go get your corporal. Go get your corporal right damn now.
I'm actually crying.
Oh, misfits. Love.
Oh, Santa.
Okay.
Yeah. And now we have, of course, after all that, we have the most serious topic of the day.
And now on to Iran. Okay. Round number four. Been a pretty crazy week, as we all know. And a lot of people have been asking us for updates on the biggest story of the new year so far. So here it goes. Those Lejeune Marines with 3-6 still have not found those rifles that went missing on December 18th. And according to several DMs that Chaps received after our last episode, we got the facts entirely fucking wrong. Who knows? All we know is that they are still missing.
Terrible.
Anyways, that being said, now that you know we got that wrong, here's our take on Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Here's our expert opinion on what's going on. First, let's start off by addressing the most pressing questions we've been getting on social media with a little bit of mail call. Because a lot of people have been tagging us in the news stories saying, what's your guys' take on this? What do you think about this? Please tell us. You are the all-knowing CBT. Mm. And like, of course, we're experts on everything.
Thank you.
Do you want to read the first question that we got here, Captain Cons?
Yes, this came from at ZBTFan69.
Wow.
Where does the newly formed Space Force fall into all this geopolitical drama?
Great question, at ZBTFan69. Getting this a lot, and clearly our adversaries forgot that we had a Space Force. Otherwise, they wouldn't have caused any trouble in the first place, I think. So, yeah, I don't know where they fall into it yet, but I think it'll be a big win for us.
Probably so. Mm-hmm. The next question comes from former West Point guy, football guy number 9.
Wow.
If this conflict escalates, how will it affect next year's West Point football season? Well, I'm not really sure how this would affect it. Some are saying it would propel us to a national championship because we'd get all the best recruits and completely turn around the season we had this year. So I'm hopeful that it has a positive effect.
Was that your burner account?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hmm. All right. Finally, at PFC commenter, could still continuing to post TikToks in uniform get me out of deployments if I get drafted, asking for a friend? Okay, second CBT burner account. Nice try, Bren. No, it will not get you out of anything. So those are the burning questions people want to know. That was terrible. Space Force. That was fucking heinous. I tried.
Did you make those up?
I did. I made those all up. That was terrible. In real news, though, here's some of our latest
Katie Wine wrote those last night, just so we know.
I was here till midnight.
Katie, that's what they call Katie Cabernet.
Katie Cabernet. I had a little bit of wine watching the Eagles lose, and I had a little too much wine, and I was like, I'm going to write a script. And then that was that. And so Golden Globes next year, maybe I'll be there. Anyways, in the real news, much less fun, even though I would say that was more painful than fun. In real news, here's some of the latest developments in the aftermath of the January 3rd Trump-ordered drone strike on Iran's top military guy.
Qasem Soleimani.
Qasem Soleimani. Trump said the, and also this one too, Quds, Q-U-D-S.
Mm-hmm.
Quds, Quds.
It's kind of like GIF and JIF.
The Quds commander, I'm going to call them the Quds. Commander had been planning an imminent attack on U.S. diplomats and forces in Iraq, so this was the result. And if you want to know more about that, because people were saying, like, how could that be legal, the Trump order, there's a really interesting article by retired Captain Lawrence Brennan on, I think it's military.com, of why that action was lawful. If you want to check it out, he goes and explains, like, why this was allowed. Like, it, technically, it is lawful. It was allowed to happen.
It's interesting, too, and I always reference this guy, Gary Solis, my old professor. He's one of the preeminent authorities on the law of war, and he used the example. He said, let's say that General Milley, our current chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, was killed by an Iranian bomb outside of Dulles Airport. What would we call it? We'd call it murder and an act of war. Could be described as an assassination, and the difference being with what happened with Soleimani is that there was an imminent attack, according to what our intel, or that's what, you know, President Trump is saying. So that's the differentiate between an assassination and a lawful killing of this gentleman.
Right. There was some nefarious plans in the works there. But in the days since, we know that things have continued to get crazy. Over the weekend, Soleimani's funeral procession, it started on Sunday, and Iranian state TV estimated that millions of mourners came out across the country, especially in the cities. They had two cities that they were taking his body through, and then two more today to pay their respects as the remains were paraded through the streets. Not sure how much I trust Iranian state TV, but the photos and videos from it look like the response has been absolutely massive.
And we're also not sure if it's forced, like if you have to go out there and do that too.
That,
I mean, I could definitely see that type of thing happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big event, and they know, like, if you're in Iran now, you know that something big is looming, and you want to show, like, national support. Even if you're probably, if you don't agree with some of the things that he did, you're out there and looking and seeing, and it's a big event that took place.
It is a big event, and also he, you know, things have maybe shifted and changed, but people were holding his portraits aloft because he was one of the country's most popular figures during the Iran-Iraq War from 1980 to 1988. He was a huge hero of that. So other generations may remember him differently than the younger generations do, or this or that. So there's a lot to it. And demonstrators also carried red Shiite flags, which traditionally symbolize both the spilled blood of someone unjustly killed and a call for vengeance. Chants of death to America were a hot ticket item both yesterday and I'm sure today.
And since I wrote that blog, I wrote the blog when it initially happened, and I said in the blog that I thought it was kind of like Secretary Mattis would be killed while he was still secretary. And I think that's really apt. Like, I think that that has turned out to be true, that he's beloved like Mattis was.
Right.
Or Mattis is, like, amongst the military crowd and the civilian population.
So, Iran's supreme leader vowed severe revenge and declared 3 days of mourning, which, again, the country is still in. Also on Sunday, in the face of growing Iraqi anger over the strike, the country's parliament in Iraq urged the government to oust roughly 5,200 American troops. So also in Iraq, and this is the part I'll be honest, like I wasn't fully understanding, maybe because Iraq didn't know that we were going to do that and they feel slighted as well. And it puts tensions between those two countries who already have a rough history in a weird spot. So I don't fully understand that, I'll be completely honest. But on top of demonstrators in Iran and parliament members in Iraq coming at us, we've got some problems stateside. Guys, we've been hacked.
Oh, no.
We've been hacked by Iran. Iranian hackers used technology that we can only assume is a 1987 TS-3000 Texas Instruments calculator taped to a potato.
Shout out Boobless.
What's that?
Shout out Boobless.
Shout out Boobs. Oh, yeah. To hack a U.S. government webpage over the weekend, they posted an image of a bloody Donald Trump receiving an Iranian fist to the face, captioned with pledges for revenge, and the website they chose to hack? Hold on to your dicks and vaginas, because it was a site that we as Americans rely on every day. The Federal Depository Library Program website.
Not the FDLP.
Yes, I'm sorry. It was. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Son of a bitch.
The group, which calls itself Iran Cybersecurity Group Hackers, appears unlikely to be working on Tehran's behalf, but they said, "This is only a small part of Iran's cyber ability." So stay tuned, because next they're going to come for the American Dental Association government site. Who knows? It's going to be rough. So... you can play some crickets there. They really did say that, though. This is only, we've only just begun. Like,
we've
okay.
Only just okay, weirdos. Begun.
And it was so bad. Like, that. If you're going to take over, do something funny. Like, it said, taken over by Iranian hackers. Like, oh, grow up in the task bar. Like, what a shitty, take some time. If you're going to take the time to hack something, make a better Photoshop. I mean, yeah. It just looks so terrible.
Terrible Photoshop.
Make it at least a GIF or something.
Yeah, it was very weird. It was very, like, 1980s looking, like...
I feel like that's even less impressive than, like, when celebrities get their Twitter accounts hacked.
Right.
Like, that's more impressive.
Yeah, Mariah Carey saying,
stupid...
like, she wants to give Eminem her pussy.
Right.
It's, like, way better than that.
Yeah.
Maybe that was them, too. I don't know.
Yeah.
They're causing a stir. So, moving on to that, since we're already covering the World Wide Web, let's head over to Twitter, where Trump caused a stir with these two doozies of tweet storms in particular. First up, from Sunday afternoon... these media posts, he tweeted this out, these media posts, he's talking about his tweets, will serve as notification to the United States Congress that should Iran strike any U.S. person or target, the United States will quickly and fully strike back, and perhaps in a disproportionate manner. Such legal notice is not required, but is given nevertheless.
I want to say here, I hate the fact that we're doing all this on Twitter. I hate that it comes across on Twitter that that's how we're doing presidential decrees.
Right.
I also hate the fact that the House Foreign Affairs Committee responded, this media post will serve as a reminder that the war powers reside in the Congress and the United States Constitution, and that you should read the War Power Act and you are not a dictator. I'm just so fucking tired of government agencies using Twitter way to go at each other. Fucking stop, man.
I thought
like,
that
stop.
Too.
It's not professional at all. And I mean, what the president is referring to.
This is real shit. It's fucking war.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's
it shouldn't
lies
be
online.
Dealt with via Twitter. But what I think the president is referring to, and things have escalated since 9/11, but in 2002, the authorization for use of military force gave the president a lot more leeway to react without getting Congress's approval. And that's what he's referring to in this situation.
I just think, like Chap said, on both sides, it's like, to me, it's such a slap in the face to people whose lives are really on the line in all this, mm-hmm. which is ultimately the lower enlisted and the military people who are doing whatever. Anyways, then...
And the people, like, have you guys seen that map? Like, with Iran, going at it with Iran. There's so many bases that are just on the outskirts of Iran that have tons of military personnel. Like Qatar has 13,000. Kuwait has 13,000. There's so many military members that are in a close stroke, striking distance. It is unbelievable, like, the provocation that's taking place just on Twitter. If you want to be a bolsterous commander-in-chief, I have zero problem with that. Like, when President Bush got into the Oval Office and he sat down in front of the Resolute desk and he looked Iraq and Afghanistan in the face after 9/11 and was like, "We're coming for you, motherfuckers," essentially. Mm-hmm. I love that at the time. But it's like, we have so many people on the ground. We've been there for 19 years. Can we just act like adults and try to get this figured out without saying that we're going to attack 52 different places and have a response that is non... What was the word that he used? He said that it is non... Let me find it. Fuck.
Disproportionate?
No. Yeah. That it might be a disproportionate response. Like, that's a war crime. Like, you can't say we're going to do war crimes as the United States.
Well, speaking of... Later that night, Trump doubled down on his claim that he would target Iranian cultural sites if Iran retaliated for our killing of their top military guy. He said, this is three tweets. I'm going to read them all because Iran is talking very boldly about targeting certain USA assets as revenge for our ridding the world of their terrorist leader who had just killed an American and badly wounded many others, not to mention all of the people he had killed over his lifetime, including hundreds of Iranian protesters. He was already attacking our embassy and preparing for additional hits in other locations. Iran has been nothing but problems for many years. Let this serve as a warning that if Iran strikes any Americans or American assets, we have targeted 52 Iranian sites representing the 52 American hostages taken by Iran many years ago, some at a very high level and important to Iran and the Iranian culture. And those targets and Iran itself will be hit very fast and very hard. The USA wants no more threats. To me, if there was anybody in Iran who is just an innocent bystander and you see that, now you're fucking pissed. You've chosen your side. To me, first of all, under international laws, attacking cultural sites is a war crime.
I don't read that as him saying cultural sites, though. No. I say the Iran culture. I think you could attack something that means a lot to the culture that isn't necessarily a cultural site, if that makes sense.
But he says, well, you're he says love it right here. Targeted 52. They already have the sites picked out.
No, I'm reading it. I don't read that as a culture sites.
Well, he clarified it on semantics Air Force. In the language is what Khan's is.
Well, correct. And he clarified it on Air Force One whenever he talked to reporters. He said, no, I'm talking about the cultural sites. If they can go after our people, we can go after their cultural sites.
To me, worth noting, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo walked back on those tweets and said that whatever was done in any military engagement would be within the bounds of law. But to me, that right there, God, public opinion is so important in this stuff. And like that is just like... That's coming at there's, I think people forget, there's also lots of like plenty of innocent bystander, just innocent people. That's the worst part of all this, who are civilians there, who are just like, I don't know. The whole thing just felt so ugly and so like,
hopefully the thing that comes from it, like if we can hope on like good hoping that they see this and they're like, fuck, maybe he's not messing around. Maybe we don't retaliate and do something different. Mm-hmm. Like maybe it does serve a purpose of like being a preemption, like instead of like a preemptive strike, it's a preemptive tweet where they know that if something happens, we have the power, we have the ability that we're going to fuck you up big time.
So but I think you got to take it seriously after what has already happened.
And I wanted a fucking reason. I'd be like, good. We do one thing, they hit one of these sites, now it's all, like, let's fucking go.
But we've already responded by taking out their top guy.
I just feel like, I don't know, it's just very stressful.
I mean, the other thing I keep going back to...
It's certainly stressful, yeah, you're absolutely right.
It definitely is, but the other thing I keep going back to, Pompeo, Milley, Esper, three very, very smart individuals with a ton of military experience, geopolitical experience... that are in his ear, hopefully, and hopefully he's listening to them.
Well, he's clearly not, but I don't know.
No, I disagree. I don't think he would just be doing these things willy-nilly, because I think he really likes those three gentlemen. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in those positions and everything he said about them. So I think he is listening to them. And I'm giving hope that he is. And one other thing, I heard from someone in the 82nd who has said, everything that's going on over there right now is being sensationalized in our media, and it's not nearly as contentious over there as we're made to believe it is right now.
Well, it definitely is being made to seem that it's contentious, and it is. It's like very stressful. It's stressful as fuck. I'm worried about my friends who are still serving. I don't know. And as all this develops and tensions rise, thousands of troops are set to be deployed to the Middle East. Among them, more than 3,500 Fort Bragg soldiers, many of them from the immediate response force of 82nd Airborne, as Cons just mentioned there. And there's also a group of around 200 from the 75th Ranger Battalion, Ranger Regiment, heading out. And the Navy amphibious assault ship with thousands of Marines on board will skip planned training in Africa to head that a ways as well. And I'm sure across all the branches, there's a lot of things getting set in motion. So online, military and civilian alike, where there's like a lot of arguing. There's a ton of World War III and draft dodger jokes.
How do you guys feel about those?
Some of them are it's funny, and I think it's people trying to keep things light. I saw a really
You know what I like about this conversation so far? Because we do, and if you've listened to a long time, there was a time on the show where we talked a lot more about politics and what's going on with the president and like elections and shit like that. And we don't do that now. But I think that the conversation that me, Kate, and Cons just had is definitely a reflection of what's happening, like in platoons, like when you're training, when you're doing things. Not everybody agrees. Some people are left, some people are right, and that is the way that the military works. Except for there probably be a lot more F-bombs going on, a lot more yelling, a lot more "fuck you, bitch" going on, and I think that that's the way that it's going to work. As far as the World War III memes, there was one that popped up. It's like if you giving somebody the side eye if they've never served and they're joking about World War III, or like laughing hysterically if you have served and you have World War III. I think this is kind of – this might be one of the first times online in a long time that I was like a military gatekeeper. You know?
Yeah. Right. Like, yeah. There was – here at work, like certain people are like, oh, be in my skit about World War III. And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'll just say flat out, I didn't really like that skit. That kind of bothered me.
Well, I just am generally, I'm not sure. So the one that I liked was, you know, when you go to like 7-Eleven, you get the giant cup and you can hit two of the like soda tabs at the same time.
Yes.
The one soda flavor was like laughing at World War III memes, and the other soda flavor that was getting in the cup at the same time was like also being worried about World War III. Like, I don't know. It's I think.
And
this...
the only reason why I didn't mind the skit, because we talked about it in the ZBT group chat, the only reason why I didn't mind is because you could tell somebody like Mantis wasn't ready, did not want to. Everybody was scared for him. Big Cat was scared for him going forward. Like, even though it was making light of what the situation was, it's still a situation that, like, really that you have to keep an eye on. Because whenever you're going to a large-scale conflict, or you're on the brink of a large-scale conflict, that shit is scary. And even if you bring it out, like, to the vision via comedy, I think that's fine. If they were like, oh, hell yeah, now Mantis is going to go fuck some people up, maybe a little different.
Slightly different
I think
vibe.
It's important to note, though, too, while I will say that I don't think it's impossible that another large-scale conflict could happen, it might, I don't think we will ever, especially in our lifetime, see a conflict on the scale of a world war
somebody
ever again.
Somebody knock on wood. That's what they said after World War I. The war
No. Well, after World War I, the League of Nations kind of fell to shit. But I think you've seen now, with everything that's gone on in the world, whether post-World War II, since the United Nations was formed in 1945, I think you've seen times where there was a potential for a world war, and it was quelled because of the amount of communication that occurs. Now, you have to remember, back in World War I, the way you communicated with another country, you sent a diplomat over to another country to kind of talk to someone. Now we tweet. Yeah. You didn't have those instant lines of communication. So I think breakdown of communication, that's when things can get to a place where things get a little hairy quickly.
We're more about more pinpointed wars, but that last way longer now. That's the hot thing to do. But anyways, this conversation clearly everybody listening sees things differently, has different perspective that they're coming at it from. And I think the tough part for everybody is the not knowing. And the confusion, and every news site you look at has something different. So I'm just as fucked in the head with this as everybody else is.
Dude, Kate, you're so right about that. Like, trying to find a source that believe everything that they're saying, like, and it's taking bias and all that shit out of it. It is impossible. And we look at the news all the time for this show to try to find, like, the best sources and things like that. Like, searching through different tweets and trying to find parts that I believe, parts that I don't believe, that is so tough, man. Like, that's the denigration of, like, truth, and it sucks. especially in a situation like this.
I'll read a tweet from somebody that I'm like, you know what? That makes a whole lot of sense. I kind of feel that. I think I agree with this. And then I'll see a counter tweet that's like, but think about their tweet this way. And I'm like, wait, maybe this person's right. Oh, I don't know. So I just like, I don't know.
I also think it's important to remember that we're not always ever going to have all the information necessary to make that much of an informed decision or a an opinion on what's going on, because as Ray Zelensky once said, and I think that's
Sheeple.
Important because no, well, I think it's
Sheeple
important
ass bitches.
Because I think anyway. If the American public knew everything at that highest level, no, there'd be such hysteria.
I'm
it
just
wouldn't
saying
be good.
It's confusing out there right now.
Oh, it absolutely
cheese
is.
And peas to everybody. That's it. Are you
Brand,
sure?
We'll start with you.
You sure you don't what? Want us to go in circles about the same topic again for another 20 minutes?
No. I think we nailed
did
that
I kill
already.
It? All right.
Yeah, we
Fair
got
enough.
That already.
Go ahead, Brent.
Kate, I'll probably defer to you, but what's like the most respectful way I can bring up Selma Hayek's breasts?
Ooh.
Because
okay.
those titties
Excellent
be popping.
I think.
Oh, I guess we just eat whenever we want, huh, chaps?
Oh, yeah.
Just
wow.
eat whenever we want.
Wow.
Chat line's always open.
I can't have a bite of granola.
Chaps can't even respond right now because it's not
well,
this
it
full
doesn't
food.
Take me 45 minutes to swallow a piece of yogurt.
This is true. This is true. Speaking of yogurt, which brings me back to dairy, which brings me back to Selma Hayek. Yeah. I feel like she knew when she put that on. It's like Dolly Parton when she wears. It's just like, you know, and
yeah.
good for you.
Right.
I looked at her last night at the Golden Globes, and those were the most Golden Globes there. I got to tell you.
Can I say, Kate?
What's that?
Titties be popping.
The titties be poppin', were absolutely popping. I may have looked at a consultation.
Wow.
Maybe it was like, I would like to have those. But I digress. It would be too much time. I would be on
favorite,
sick leave.
Favorite term for boobs, Kate?
Ooh. Favorite term for boobs? I always liked, what's that Halloween movie where he's like, yabos.
Yabos. Yeah. Hocus Pocus.
Yeah. Hocus Pocus. Yabos. What are you? How about you guys?
Yabos is
Cons.
A good one. You know, I'm a respectful. I will refer to them only as breasts.
Oh, wow. Oh, I like Brent? Sweater puppies, too.
I like sweater puppies is mine.
Like how I said before, titties, but with a D, not a T.
Thank okay. you.
Titties.
Oh. Titties with a T titties. Is not respectful.
No, titties
with a D right. is, it's like bitch. If you say yeah. it spelled with two C's, it's fine.
So that's basically True. My say round is that someone's high, titties be popping. It's pretty much.
Yeah, that's a good
that
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's very nice of her to put that out there on mainstream media whenever so many troops are getting deployed, because a lot of places will have
yeah.
porn sites blocked. Mm-hmm. It's nice to have something that you could at least work your imagination with out there.
I like to think that was for the troops, for sure.
That's great. We should get her on the show.
Longtime stoolie, Selma Hayek's boobs.
Oh, brick by brick.
Brick by bricks.
Tit by tit. Mm-hmm. All right, Cons, what do you got?
On the Iran topic, I know a lot of people respect our opinions, and I think that's great, but I think it's way too nuanced for us to get through everything on the show. So if we didn't hit your opinion or talk about this specific topic
then
related,
fuck you.
Then I apologize and I'm sorry.
You're a dumb boot.
I thought it was interesting that the Selective Service website was crashed of all the people trying to figure out how do I get out of the draft. I thought that was very funny, because as if we would have a draft ever again.
Canada, man. The weather's fine,
I guess. And then lastly, Chaps, you said the Pope was a sergeant major, and I vehemently disagree. The Pope is a general. The
For
Pope
sure.
is a general. He's.
I don't think so.
He's
I
the,
do.
Listen, he's the vicar of Christ, which essentially means he's Christ on earth, and Christ was the head of the Catholic and Christian religion, so that means the Pope is the head of the religion, hence he's a five-star general.
Sitting at the right hand of Christ, I think, is where
But he's not.
He's
not at.
At
the right hand of Christ. He is Christ. He's the embodiment of Christ on earth.
The embodiment of St. Peter, though. And I would say
no.
that St. Peter would be, I think he would be the sergeant major.
St. Peter would be, yes. But I maintain that the Pope is a five-star general.
Jesus Christ is a five-star general. Wow.
The Pope is a five-star general. Mm. That's where I stand.
Huh.
Okay.
All right.
Kate?
Satan is a gunny, by the way. Just noting.
True.
Save round. I won't get too into it. I was going to talk about fair winds and following seas to the 28th Commandant of the Marine Corps, General Paul X. Kelly. He was a Vietnam veteran with a Silver Star. He passed away at the age of 91 last week, and he had served 37 years in the Marine Corps. He has noted that his most impactful moment, he was in Beirut during the bombing in 83 that killed 241 service members. And there's this great New York Times article where just a few days after the bombings, he sits down for an interview with them, and he talks about how it was right away knew that that was the hardest day of my life. And in the aftermath, he went to comfort some of the soldiers who were, or some of the Marines who were in West Germany recovering. And there was a Lance Corporal with severe wounds, including this guy had a fractured skull, collapsed lungs, broken leg, and was temporarily blinded. And General Kelly said, when he heard me say who I was, he grabbed my camouflage coat, went up to the collar, and counted the stars, because the guy couldn't see. So the Marine's reading it with his hands. He's like, oh, as if to confirm his rank. He squeezed my hand and then wrote on a piece of paper provided by a nurse, Semper Fi. When the wounded Marine returned to the United States, General Kelly presented him with the stars he had worn during their meeting, saying they belonged to him more than me.
Wow, that's powerful.
So, yeah, just a really, really interesting life. Look him up. General Paul X. Kelly.
Do you know what the X stood for? What name?
It was something super impressive that I was like, that's a fucking Xavier. Badass, I mean, gentleman.
Was it Xavier? Xavier? I mean, anytime
I think
you get
X in your name. Xanadu. I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
General Paul Zanadu.
That's honestly, you know, they should have, Lieutenant Dan could have taken a little lesson in leadership from this young Marine here. That's how he should have greeted Forrest Gump.
Right, and he didn't. My goodness.
No, but, pulled him off the bed onto his butt cheek that had just been shot. Kind of fucked up.
Also, slightly, totally different note. I wish I had done this part first. I talked about my porn star on here. I talked about him.
Yeah, you've mentioned them once or twice.
Oh, okay. Anyway, yeah. A very high-up porn star tweeted me this week, so...
Owen Gray.
Owen Gray. Look him up as well, but different vibes. Well, oh, God. Okay. Anyway, I'll end there. Chaps?
All right.
Okay.
I don't really have anything. It was a good week. It was stressful. I hate going through all this stuff and thinking about all the families who are going through everything. Mm. It's a tough spot to be in, but I'm glad that we have the roughest and... best men and women in uniform ready to stand the watch and march to the sounds of the guns.
Truth.
Even if we disagree on why they're there. Sound the retreat.